Hello and welcome to the Erin Patterson podcast, the insider account of an alleged crime that has rocked Australia. I'm Lisa Tate, a journalist who has reported on the Jeffrey Epstein case and the super lawyer Tom Girardi's $100 million fraud. Now, the accused in this case, Miss Erin Patterson, was charged with murder and attempted murder, but she denies all allegations. And we are not implying she deliberately poisoned her relatives with beef Wellington and mushrooms. She has the presumption of innocence and the right to a fair trial. But keep in mind, this narrative is grounded in real-life tragedy involving the deaths of three loved people. Ms. Patterson is accused of murdering her former in-laws, Don and Gail Patterson, both aged 70, and Gail's sister, Heather Wilkinson. Now, first, a reminder for this week. Miss Patterson is in court this week for a special mention at La Trobe Magistrates. It's a case management session. We'll be covering this hearing for you and another next week. Now, I have with me today one of my people, and she's also a podcaster, but we knew each other in traditional media, where you could smell the ink on the newspaper.
Literally.
And we have another podcast that no one really listens to. It's about the Real Housewives of Sydney.
But, geez, we have a good laugh.
We do have a good laugh. But she's here today to, A, prove these things happened, and, B, expert commentary.
Yes, I'm Louise Wilkinson. It's lovely to make all of your acquaintances and very honoured to be on the Erin Patterson podcast with you, Lisa.
Well, thank you for getting on with it today on this Sunday afternoon.
Look, it's a rainy Sunday afternoon, so, of course, what perfect podcasting weather. We're all here, you know, in our little podcast studio, nice and cosy.
Yep, tracksuits on.
Yes.
Now, I met Louise back in the day when I was a junior reporter at the Newcastle Herald. So I was someone with no power at all. And I ended up with the fatal food poisoning stories, most notably the deadly hospital fruit salad of 1999 and the fatal pizza topping.
You did.
I did. And I still remember one of my editors looking over my shoulder and telling, well, demanding, I call a bereaved lady to get an exact quote to match his proposed fruit salad story. And so became I Fed Her the Fruit as the banner headline in the Newcastle Herald.
I remember it well.
So that is tragic, absolutely tragic, but it never ends like that for a journalist. Well, for me, I always end up in trouble. The hospital PR lady called me, and she's now a Buddhist, and I hope that's working out for her, because she yelled at me, and there was some talk of people wanting me to lose my job over my reporting of the fruit salad.
I don't think I remember a week where you didn't get yelled at, to be completely fair, because you were such a good journalist as well, you know.
Oh, no, I wasn't great, but I was really good at hiding in the office.
Listen, it was a rabbit warren, which was great, because there was a lot of hiding spots, and geez, did you need them, girl, because, you know, while the other junior journalists, you had talent. So the other junior journalists used to get the, you know, social pics and the
fish and chips,
which was, you know, sort of the back end of the paper that no one really cared about.
The chips.
Yeah. But Lisa always managed to get herself into some sort of scandal.
Oh, I did. And there's a reason, dear listener, why we are telling you about this. There's method in my madness. Yep. And I'm just trying to illustrate how touchy food poisoning issues are.
They really are.
They are.
Yeah.
So I was yelled at by the hospital PR lady, and that was exciting. Mm-hmm. But when it came to the pizza topping story, the police were pissed at me because the Sydney media turned up at the home of the bereaved family. And they were like, oh, Lisa, if you hadn't written that story, they'd never be harassed. You've made it worse. Like, seriously.
So this was your fault.
That was my fault that the Sydney media turned up.
Did you turn up?
Well, I turned up days before it.
Okay. Well, in media, do we not call that, and I put this in air quotes, a scoop?
Well, the family called me to go to their house too.
Okay, well, this is reasonable. See, you've been unfairly vilified.
But then the doctor who sent the kid away from the pizza child, he sent him away from the hospital, said there's nothing wrong with him. He rang, got the day editor and, like, basically screamed at him that he didn't know how hard it was and he was the doctor involved in the story. So political.
So political. And, yeah, it's a minefield. So, you know, I must take my hat off to you for the bravery of wading into this once
more. No, I had to do it. I wasn't brave. My bosses were making me do it.
Yeah, I know, but here you are again on food poisoning.
Well, that's why we've got to talk about this.
Yeah.
Because you know the fruit salad story? I got a massive stress rash from that.
Yes.
Because someone wanted me fired and I wouldn't say who they are. And there was paper going back and forth and faxes, that's how long ago, going around all day. But this is really serious, this one here. And if you have a Louise, if you have a weak stomach and you don't like to read about things that are P-double-O, I would fast forward this one.
Yeah, yeah, we do. It does come with a weak stomach warning, this one, but I do remember it at the time, so I'm ready.
No surprise, I was yelled at.
Yet again.
Now, this is in 97, and when it comes to food safety, there's always a worst case scenario. And trust me, you're going to see my point in relation to the mushroom allegations. So in 1997, there was an extremely serious environmental crime which involved a river with oyster leases and a caravan park dumping its effluent into the water.
For those Kath and Kim fans out there, we do mean effluent, not affluent.
So this guy had to avoid paying $136,000 to dump his waste in a, what do you say, professional manner, a legal manner. He didn't do it. There was this complicated series of underground. He'd actually built all these pipes to go straight into the river.
Oh.
Okay. So
you're getting the picture, aren't you, people?
So I reported on that, the allegations, because it had to go to court. And he got taken to Spanky Town.
I bet he did.
Yes, because there was a new law that had been passed and he was, up until now, this still stands. He was imposed the maximum penalty, 12 months imprisonment and $250,000 in fines. Found guilty. His name was Charles Anthony Leslie Gardner. If you're listening to this podcast, please don't yell at me. Yell at Louise.
Don't yell at me either. I was in classifieds.
Okay, so the justice said that his environmental pollution was, quote, perpetrated in a deliberate and dishonest manner.
Well, that's fair, wouldn't you say?
Yes, it was Justice Lloyd of the Land and Environment Commission. Let's get to the specifics. Gardner had pumped $130,000 litres of sewage a week.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Into a river at Karua between October 1993 and April 1996. I met this guy's wife, by the way. Small, Newcastle, small. Justice Lloyd said it was the most serious case of an environmental crime he'd ever seen.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
And I got yelled at by some oyster lease people for reporting on it. But what can you do? So next time you look at a journalist and you're going to judge them, give them a hug because we always get yelled at.
Yeah, I can attest to all of this. You know, the woman's just doing a job and running and finding hidey holes in our workplace to avoid being yelled at by
bosses,
doctors, oyster farmers.
Well, but a lot of the time you and I were having a cigarette outside.
That's true.
When you remember menthols?
I still smoke menthols.
Oh, you still smoke menthols?
I do. Yes, but that was like necessary. I feel like, you know, look, I'm not a quitter, so I'm still smoking. But, you know, I felt like in those days, like late 90s, that was the de-stress du jour.
And also it's what all the editors did. So if you wanted to get the ear of an editor, you went outside and you had a smoke.
It's exactly right. And also the sales managers. And, yeah, look, I found myself promoted a couple of times because of our fagging habits.
Because you sucked up to each other?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now getting back to the main story.
Yeah, look, we're just reminiscing. Bear with us, people.
Now, because the integrity of our food system is so important, one could not take risks like old mate did with the Karua effluent.
Mm.
And this brings me to over at The Age, a Melbourne newspaper. They have had a deep dive into fungi safety in the state of Victoria.
Right, okay. So how's that gone?
Well, there's been fatal outbreaks of listeria and salmonella, and they put in freedom of information request to the government to get the actual documents. So what it says, and I won't read it all because you should go buy a newspaper, shipments of mushrooms potentially contaminated with deadly bacteria are coming into Australia largely unchecked by federal authorities despite concerns they could pose a serious health threat. These are important mushrooms. Did I say imported? Yeah. These are imported mushrooms, particularly varieties from East Asia that have been linked to serious and fatal outbreaks of listeria and salmonella. How does that one grab you, Louise?
Look, I have to say I'm not real happy. I remember going to New Caledonia and bringing my daughter back this lovely colouring in set, and I got it taken off me at customs. Yet, you know, salmonella mushrooms are, you know, coming in by the truckload. I don't understand.
The colouring set that you got for your daughter, did it have mushroom pictures in it?
It did not have mushroom pictures, but apparently it was wood.
Oh, yes. So I've fallen to that.
Oh, I was devastated. Got thrown into the trash.
Yeah.
Poor Liv. Didn't get anything.
Didn't get anything. Terrible. Did you get yelled at?
No, I didn't. If it was you, I'm sure you would have.
Okay, so the government's known about this since about 2021, but is reluctant to screen shipments for deadly bacteria. So that might be of interest to Erin Patterson's defence team, don't you think?
Well, yeah, it certainly could be, because we don't actually, do we know the origins of these mushrooms?
I think it's better if we don't talk about them.
Sure.
Like, we want everything to be come out during court.
Absolutely. Picking up what you're putting down. And this is why she's a great journalist.
Oh, actually, I will say this, and people are going to say, oh, you're making this all about yourself. But no, I think my whole life I've been training to do this story because of all the food stuff I did. I worked at Choice. When I got yelled at over custard working at Choice.
Custard. How does one get yelled at over custard?
Apparently the headline, which I didn't write, was sarcastic. It was about baby custard, and baby custards had too much sugar in them.
Right.
I'll tell you what, when I started at Choice, I thought the banks were going to be the big meanies. Nah, you ain't heard nothing yet except when it comes to our mates in the food industry.
Right, and Heinz.
They play hard, mate. They do. I was in a room and they were lecturing us for an hour over a headline.
Wow, okay.
There you go. Sorry, I did bring up another story about me, but it's just relevant.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so new data shows nearly 300 Victorians have been hospitalised with mushroom-related poisoning in the past. Now, I saw an article recently, and we had it here on our podcast, Louise.
Yes.
People are going out foraging and not knowing what they're doing.
Yes.
You should go with an expert.
You certainly should, because, yeah, it's I would have thought everybody knows that. That there are non-toxic and toxic mushrooms, and you can't know unless you're very well versed in it.
Yeah, well, I grew up in Lithgow where nothing grows because it's so cold.
Yes.
Even I knew not to touch the mushrooms that grew, you know?
Everybody knew. Like, I just, I just would have thought that was common knowledge.
Well, no.
Right.
Yeah, I've got a story coming up in a moment as well.
Mm.
So, as I said, the data found 300 Victorians have been hospitalised with mushroom-related poisoning, and it soared 250% since 2012.
Whoa.
You can't even blame COVID for that.
No. Blame COVID for most things, but, yeah.
I can't read anymore because I'm going to feel bad for the age. So,
yeah.
Go and get a subscription.
Yep.
Now, get back to Victoria.
Yes, I'm very interested in this one. Yep.
And back to mushrooms. We have a story from the ABC. A Melbourne woman died at a health retreat on Sunday, so that's last week, after consuming a drink made with mushrooms.
Yes.
Remember in Bali? You could get mushroom shakes.
Look, I do. And if you remember the series with Nicole Kidman in it where it was all around a retreat in Byron Bay.
It was.
Yeah. And part of their treatment was psilocybin.
Yep.
From mushrooms. So it's actually been, because I had a podcast that I used to do called The Juice, which was not mushroom juice, I must say, but, you know, there were a fair few sort of, you know, alternate medicine people on there, people who ran these sort of retreats and, you know, a couple that took, you know, mind-altering substances and all that sort of thing. And the rise in experimenting with mushrooms has, like, just gone off the charts since about 2021.
Yeah, I was looking at the academic literature about this and there have been about 200 studies done since like 2020. So I think it's ask your doctor. Like if you're considering it, ask your doctor.
Look, definitely. And, you know, it's an experimental drug, this psilocybin. Mm. It's not legal. So it's, you know, at your own risk. So, but I did find it very interesting that, you know, we have another mushroom related death while all this is going on.
I know, little fungi things that they are.
Yeah. Fungi things.
I'm not an expert, as I said. Okay, experts say that magic mushrooms are unlikely to cause sudden death, but have warned that accidentally foraging a lookalike species could be fatal.
Mm.
So police are still investigating the exact circumstances surrounding the woman's death, including which mushrooms may have been involved. So I saw one of these in Bali, magic mushroom shake.
Oh, did you?
Yes. And then they went and banned them, but apparently you can still get them. But what it looked like was just like, I don't know, banana if it was black, and it was kind of, the juice was great. It did not look like appetizing to me at all.
No, and I'm slightly concerned because you would know that I've just booked a retreat in Bali, so I hope that I'm not going to get served mushroom smoothies.
But do you know what?
What?
I have always wanted to bust someone out of Bali. I've spent so much time thinking about it and what you would do and who, yeah.
Just call me Chappelle. I'm not going to be trying mushrooms.
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying I've got your back.
That's comforting. Thank you. Yeah.
So anyway, you get this grey drink. And I remember my friends own a bar in, it's a sports bar in Seminyak.
Yep.
And this tiny little Filipino lady came. All she wanted was a magic mushroom milkshake. She was so excited and it was handed over and off she went into the night.
I'll bet she did, and saw lights and, you know, all sorts of fairies and elves and imps.
Well, that's the thing too. In Bali, food safety, how do they know the mushrooms aren't the
bad ones? You don't. If there was ever a time where you were going to choose an environment to microdose psilocybin, I don't know that it'd be Bali.
No.
Really? You know? I mean, you eat a chook and you're over the toilet for 2 days.
Exactly. So anyway, that's some advice from Louise and I.
Yes.
Always consult your doctor.
Absolutely. I'll report back after my Bali retreat. And if I don't, Lisa will be doing a new podcast on Louise in corroboration.
Saving Louise.
Saving Louise.
That'd be safe. That would be good, actually.
I'm not doing it for your podcasting kudos.
Oh, someone's going to complain about this. Complain to Louise. Okay.
So it's our hard upbringing at said newspaper. We've become jaded, but we believe extremely funny.
Yes, well, we think we are. Anyway, did you know there's a Victorian injury surveillance unit?
No, I did not. So, what do they do?
Well, they give statistics like this. More than half of all mushroom poisoning incidents have an unknown origin. And about a third of those are attributed to wild field or homegrown mushrooms. I didn't know you could grow mushrooms at home.
Well, I'm assuming you could. I mean, you can grow most things at home, but the thing to do, wouldn't it, would be to go and get your little packet from Bunnings. I mean, have they gone out to the forest and picked a mushroom and then put it in a pot and it's proliferated but it's actually poisonous? Is this how it's happened?
I don't know, but what I'm thinking is you've got to listen to the government if you're going to forage.
Definitely.
There are classes and things that you can attend.
I necessarily that would be the best use of my time. I think what we can all get out of this is don't eat homegrown or forest-picked mushrooms.
It's all right for Barbie, though. Not Barbie, Bambi.
Bambi. Yeah, Bambi's fine. Bambi can eat
whatever she wants.
Live your best life, Bambi. But not for us.
Not for us. It's not. And I found a report in the Journal of Psychopharmacology and adverse experiences resulting in emergency medical treatment seeking following the use of magic mushrooms are rare. Now, how's this? They studied 9,233 people and only 19 of those reported having sought emergency medical treatment.
Yeah.
It was on Google.
Well, then, okay. Well.
Don't take advice from Louise and I.
No, don't. But, yeah, okay. So probably the reason is because it's only if you're absolutely desperate that you're going to seek medical treatment, aren't you? Because you've taken something illegally. Magic mushrooms are, let's be clear, illegal. They're a drug. They're a mind-altering substance.
Actually, I do know someone who was microdosing himself and he was growing the mushrooms at his house.
Yes. Yeah. So I would say that it's sort of like the same thing as like, you know, you're only going to go, say, you know, you take an ecstasy tablet and you're having an adverse reaction to it. Because it's illegal, your first thing would be, oh, look, I'll just see if it passes, because you know that there's going to be a legal consequence to you going to the hospital.
Which there more than likely wouldn't be. If you were dealing it, they want to just make sure you're safe.
The bottom line is to the average Joe, and particularly to the, you know, to the 18-year-old who's taken an ecstasy pill at the at the festival, their fear would be that they're going to get arrested if they go to the hospital.
Yes.
So that's why, and this is kind of the same sort of thing, is that they'll probably wait it out, and if it's really bad, then they'll go. But so that's probably why you've got the low percentage.
That is true, yeah. Mm. And don't do any of those things in Bali.
No.
That's all we want
and
to say.
Don't eat at the Warungs. Tip from us to you.
Now, The Australian had a very, very interesting article on Friday, and it's a deep dive into Erin's finances. Right. Now, you'll all have to go and subscribe to the Oz to get this, but I'll just read a few paragraphs.
Yeah.
It's been widely reported that Patterson, who faces court on Monday charged with three murders by death cap mushroom, is a woman of wealth. In truth, Patterson, 49, is more financially comfortable than wealthy. Patterson became better off rather than the conspicuously wealth when her grandmother's will was carved up amongst the family. That is a dig. That's a deep dive.
It is. Jeez.
They've gone back a couple of generations.
Well, they have. And I wonder if they got yelled at.
Families always yell at each other.
No, but I'm saying, no, the journalist. Did the journalist get yelled at for doing this quite invasive deep dive into financials, and all you did was talk about effluent in Karua River.
Yeah.
I'm just sticking up for you as your friend.
No. I'm just saying I think it's easier to pick on the girl at the Newcastle Herald who was like 24.
Definitely.
Than like a journo at The Australian.
Absolutely.
And one thing I know about the Murdoch papers is they back their reporters.
Good for them though.
Yes, good for them. So most of the money appeared to have stayed in South Australia, but the will did not spell out. How did they get that? I know in other countries it's publicly available. Is it available here? I have no idea.
I don't know either. Actually, I think there is something where they have to publish sort of the will in case anyone wants to make a claim on it.
The probate.
Mm.
This is like amazing. So more money flowed to Erin Patterson after the death about 5 years ago of her mother. That's when I knew her.
Right.
Leaving her better off than a lot of people in the rural Victorian town of Leongatha, where she lived before being charged last year with 3 counts of murder and 5 of attempted murder, which she denies.
Hmm.
So, yes, the story is Mushroom Cook and the Money, and it was in the Weekend Australian, although I found it on Friday.
Yep.
So that's all we have for you today. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support our independent podcast, please consider donating $5 to the Buy Us a Coffee platform, because we need coffee, Louise.
We've got to have coffee.
That's the other thing. Louise lets me record the podcast here for free every week. So thank you.
You're very welcome, my friend.
Because at the end of the day, editing the podcast, hosting it so people can get it distributed, and maintaining a website are all very expensive.
Yeah.
And we want to get the best show possible and continue to support Australian voiceover artists. There's a link in the show notes, as they say in the business, if you'd like to do that. Meanwhile, you can catch up with me on all the latest on Erin_podcast, on Twitter at Lisa Podcast, or go to our website, erinpatterson.com.au. Thanks again, and I'll see you probably in 24 hours. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening today. Follow the Erin Patterson Podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all other platforms. Plus, go to the link in the show notes to sign up to our email list. That way, you will always know when there's a new episode.